John Wainwright, and beginning this long visit with John Turner with Barbara and Wayne this Thursday, the 5th of December, 74. John Wainwright, and beginning this long visit with Barbara and Wayne with John Turner this Thursday, the 5th of December, 74.
Will you please help me get that for him to warn him?
Will you think he'll get $5 a bushel?
I don't think he'll make it. The lady offered him $8, and he wouldn't take it. $8 a box. That's two bushels. He wouldn't pick the $8.
Oh, you mean navels?
Navels.
Are oranges down that low? I thought they were high.
No, they ain't that high. Now, Mr. Kidron, the Hawthorne, told me he got plenty of oranges for 2.5 a box. That's two bushels.
2.5 a box?
For navel oranges.
Oh, John.
Mr. Kidron, the Hawthorne, really. Really, I can buy them plenty for that. But I've had a pickle.
Yeah.
That's right. 2.5. And them Chinese hunters, he wants $10 a box for them. That's $5 a bushel. He'll never make it. They ain't gonna give him that. The lady offered him $8 for each one of them. $8 a box. That's $4 a bushel. She offered him that, and he wouldn't take it.
She offered him $4.
$4 a bushel, and he wouldn't take it.
Fine.
You ain't seen no greens, did you, Mr. Mars?
What?
You didn't see no greens, did you?
No, you seen any?
Down there in the field. I got a big bunch to get home, about that big around.
Well, now, I'll tell you, John, you're the man we've been looking for. If you can get greens down there, that's fine.
You ain't showed him them greens?
No, I haven't showed him.
Why don't you show them to him?
Well,
you mean out here?
They brought some to the house here somewhere.
I just brought them in there. There was on the back porch.
Well, now magician. We got magicians around here.
Yeah, so you got plenty of greens down there. All you got to do is down there and get them and cook them and eat them. Plenty of them down there. The rutabagas that tall. The rutabagas is that tall.
Yeah.
And down the row, on the other end, they come up nice and made green. But on this end, they're just coming up. I'd like that then.
What in the world wrong with them at this end?
I don't know. That's what I was putting on the one. And this end was the wettest. When you plant them, this end was the wettest. Had the dampest ground.
That's what I thought.
It did. But they on the other end, where the greens come. This end just coming up.
You get that? Do you miscalculate like I do? You know, I do that all the time.
If I didn't know it did grow it on the other end like that, I'd have planted all the other end and leave this no.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Well, what you done was leave the other end and plant this end.
That's right.
You got some little cabbage growing down this.
Yeah, end. Got a little cabbage coming up too.
Yeah.
And collards.
Does that all come up since the rain?
Yeah, so since it rains. But if there's some more rows on the outside there, they ain't come up at all. I don't believe the seed was no good. You know where I'm looking?
Yeah.
And nothing come up out there. And we had some more rows out there on our edge, but then I ain't seen none of them come up. I believe it was bad seed.
Well, you can't take the seed back, can you?
No, sir. I'm planting them in that dirt. It wasn't no good. That's why they didn't come up. You know, it's a ball over there to my home. Got about 8 acres of peanuts. And it was made just for the coal.
Yeah.
And I went along there this morning, I stopped by a field and I pulled up two or three bunches. Man, talking about some good peanuts. Them some good solid green peanuts.
Yeah.
And I don't know what in the world he letting them stay there for. I'm going to ask him what he going to do with them. It looks like he ain't going to get them.
Peanuts this time of year?
Yes, ma'am.
Just late, aren't they?
That's right.
Hell, Faye, peanuts will grow all through it. I mean, up to frost, I guess.
You know, you can plant them in February. And the cold will kill them clean back to the ground. And when you look again, they'll be done put out and coming out there just as pretty as they were before.
Now, what about that?
It'll just kill the top of them, you know,
Well, you better plant some peanuts in February, then.
Sure, right.
But it ain't far off.
It sure ain't. It's coming on. I'm rooting some pear trees. I do the start on them this month.
Yeah.
Just as much you root them pear trees.
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pear tree out there?
Yeah.
Where would you root them around here?
Anywhere in the ground. Anywhere you want it to be, in the ground.
Yeah.
You got a space out there you want one, I cut it and stick it there now, and I guarantee you it'll live.
Yeah.
I water it when I go to leave, and then you water it about once every 2 weeks. And I guarantee you, you'll see a pear tree there. When the spring comes, it'll put right out.
Well, let's put some in.
Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, John, you can't get around them pears. If you don't sell them, you can eat them.
Oh, man, you can put them in some jars, too.
Them things is hard to beat.
It sure is. I got a heap of them jarred up now, but the lady had a lady to put them up for me, and she put too much sugar or something. She just ruined them pears, all that sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. They had got good and ripe, too. You don't supposed to let them get good and ripe.
They're better when they're not too ripe.
That's right.
They're the best things we have, John.
Yes, ma'am.
That's right. They're the best ones.
Yes,
ma'am. You've got something over there.
Yeah, I got them whole 2 acres in nothing but pear trees.
But they don't produce the same every year.
This year, they didn't have nothing. But that last cold got them.
Yeah.
But it's been like it was the year before last. I didn't know where to came. I was selling them so fast and going and selling them, and people coming after them. One man used to come after Mr. Clement. He died. He always get 10 or 12 bushels every year.
John, you ought to have a lot of, you ought to be pretty well to do with as much money as you take in.
So many bills. That's what got me. I ran and got too much of debt one time. One time ain't too much of debt, I'll wake on you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I sure did. I owe one fella about, I owed him $2,500 one time. I owed 40-something hundred.
You did?
That's when I had my home built, see? Yeah. That was the year when President Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
And I've been paying, I paid down on it, and then I paid long on it. For having that house built and everything. And a pump, well of water. And it got everything in there, in the house, you know.
Yeah.
You got a deep freeze and everything else.
All of that, yes, man. Frigidaire, deep freeze. All that, they got all that there. And then they still saying they want more.
Oh,
You got a dishwasher?
No, got a clothes washer. Ain't got near a dishwasher. But I got the sink in the kitchen and the hot water and the cold water.
Oh, have you?
Too.
And that puts you behind, though.
Yeah, you're right. Then when I get ready to pay light bill, look what it is. $22 and something yesterday for light bill.
And that's not much compared to some of them.
That's right. That washing machine and that water. And then they got a TV there to just turn on. They don't hardly turn it off.
Oh, really?
Then they got a combination there. And they turn that on. It's on then showing up.
A stereo.
Stereo. Got the tapes, the jug in it. And then got records to play on and all. So. And a radio. All that combined. And them big old things sit down on the floor. All of that. They got all of that. And then they still ain't satisfied. What's the matter with them?
You talking about your family.
Who's the worst?
Yeah?
Who's the worst one? Hardest to satisfy?
Them girls.
Yeah.
Them boys, they go ahead with any kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they want that music.
Do they?
Yeah, they want that music.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. Way in the night, soon in the morning, they want that. I told them sometimes, y'all go to bed and let me sleep and rest. I got to wake. Y'all just go to wake and play around all day.
But they don't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
So you ain't the judge of what they play.
No, they play Jim Brown records, the blues and all that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I told them, y'all ain't gonna never buy a church record and play a church song sometime. He liked the blues. We don't like spirituals much. I said, well, you will one day.
That's right. And if you put it on, they wouldn't care for it.
That's right. If I, that's what I wanted, they wouldn't care for that. You see, now, ain't that something?
Yeah.
It'd go the opposite way all the time. It wasn't that bad about that boy the horse on.
Oh, that was.
Man, if he done that, I don't want him around me. I ain't joking. Mm-mm. That boy used to come to my house and sit down with my boys and sit down and stay around my place.
Oh, did he?
He sure did. Same boy, what they got for that.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he done it or not, but if he did, I don't want him around me. Mm-mm.
Is that the Howard boy?
No, no. Rutley boy.
They don't know what got into him.
You're sure right. No, I don't either. He never did act like he'd be that kind of fella. He used to be around my house with my boys all the time there.
Yeah. He just wiped them out, didn't he?
He sure did. If he done that, he sure did. My son used to stay with his mother, my older son, and she beat the car all to pieces and shot holes all in it. And said if she got to him, she'd have killed him. That's what his mother said about my son. Beat that car. If you'd have seen that car, you'd have cleared. Nobody couldn't have beat up a car and shot it up like that. And that's what she done to him, and he run through the woods and hid.
Wait a minute. This boy's mother?
Mm-hmm. But they got over there for killing those folks. His mother done all of that. Sure did.
Yeah, even when your boy was over there.
Yeah, man, he was staying there with her. And he was engaged to get married and everything. But after all that come up, he got away from over there. He come from there then. That boy, that same boy mother. Beat his car all to pieces. It cost him about $300 to get it fixed back. Glass and everything. Broke out every glass out of it. Bust out every light. Shot all through the fenders.
What with it?
A rifle. And then broke the rifle all to pieces and threw it up on top of the car and she leave it. People, I'll tell you, it's something else.
And that was your boy's car?
Yes, sir. Yo, well, they arrested for it and put him in Gainesville jail. He told him to go ahead and turn her loose, let her go. He'll get what you're looking for on up the road to somebody else.
Oh, really?
So he let it rent. So finally, she gave him another old car. The old car wasn't worth 2 cents. He gave him another old car in the place of it. An old car. He sold the old car. It wasn't no good.
And it was her son.
But kill those folks, you see.
That whole family.
Yeah, pretty rough. Her dad is Rutley. James Rutley. That's her daddy.
You know him?
Yeah, I've been knowing him for years. He ain't never done nothing to nobody. But whip them little boys and see, he care out a crew, he a contractor. He care out a crew, and if they don't work, he tell them, don't get on my truck no more. You can get on there if you want to. Them little boys and girls, he'd pull them down and spank them and turn them loose. That's all I ever know him to do, anybody. If they ain't got work, don't get on the truck. See, they go out there and play and more work when they get to the field.
Yeah.
He said, I'm just hauling dead weight. Don't get on my truck if you ain't got work. When he carry to the field, he means for you to work that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing wrong with that.
No. No, he worked for Mr. Gagger for years.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, that's Mr. Gagger, right-handed buddy.
When he's over at...
Over at Fort McCoy.
Fort McCoy, way back there.
When he was working in Tim time. That's right. And then he worked for Mr. Gagger, he after he had come over to Citra. He sure did. His name is James Rutley.
Yeah.
They call him Scoopy. He worked for Mr. Whittington for years. Know Mr. Whittington?
Down at Magnite?
No, his brother.
Oh.
His brother, up to Hawthorne. You know his brother, don't you?
Oh, has he got a brother at Hawthorne?
You know my Mr. Dick? Yeah. Mr. Whittington. He used to run the big restaurant there in Hawthorne before that four lane come through there. That big restaurant right across on that side, that was his restaurant. Oh, and that big old packing house, that's where he used to pack all his vegetables and stuff he'd raise. Mr. Whittington used to be a big head man. He had things.
Well, he must have been a big what?
Had a big head man. He had a 7-time seal of his own, quarters, 2 or 3 big quarters, and cows and land. That pine timber just laid on. And to tell me he lost everything he had, went broke. Mr. Whittington's brother was away from Mr. Huff. Say his brother up there went broke. All he got now is just a little home spot for his house. I don't see how he could have done that, but to say he sure did.
Vegetables, you reckon?
Sir?
Vegetables, you reckon?
That's right. Vegetable farmer, he was.
That'll break him.
Yes, sir. He had raised cabbage. That old other stuff. What's it called, that old stuff? Broccoli? He reared all that kind of stuff. Man, and beans. Great. Goodness of God. You could pick down 2 rows of beans from here to the other wall in your house over here on 2 rows. And if you wouldn't have a crate and a half of beans when you get there, I don't know why. He used to raise them. Cucumbers. And man, they met the food with them watermelons. I don't know. I think they could have got it. But one man in the household don't fail to make money. And you'll never guess who he is.
Sid Martin.
Sid Martin ain't got no time with this man.
I'd love to know.
He got a brother living on the lake. He can just guess that out.
In Arnold's Lake.
Uh-huh.
I bet he can't guess it, John.
No.
You don't have to.
Did you know a man run a garage in Arnold's Lake? Work on cars?
Yeah.
What is his name?
Well, let me see.
In Orange Lake.
What is his name, John?
Bob Beckham.
Oh, hey, he got a brother up there?
Yeah. Old Beckham.
He has.
That's the man that make the money off of watermelon. He make so many $1,000s a year. And then he give the patch to that same color pillar I was telling you about.
Yes.
After he get together, see, he do all his hauling and gathering for him. Mm-hmm. When he gets through, he turn the patch over to him, and he makes thousands of dollars off the patch after he give it to him. And he take a trip north every year after he gets through.
Just for a trip.
Oh, yeah. You got plenty of money now.
Bob Baker's brother. Well, Bob Baker, I thought he was a big performer, but he ain't much.
He ain't got no time with that man up there. You know, he's the deputy sheriff for about 7 or 8 years up there in Hawthorne. Talking about sweet potatoes. Now, that's a man knows how to raise a sweet potato, too, don't you forget.
Oh, I wish I'd known him a little earlier.
Man, that man knows how to raise some sweet potatoes. And they sent me there to get him. I was peddling along in there. And he was a police there. And he'd tell me, he said, go by the house, how many bushes you want? I'd tell him, go by the house and look in that pile on that side and get many bushes that you want and keep count of them and come back and pay me. I'd get them and go tell them and come back and pay me. They wasn't charging but $2 a bushel for the sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
That's what they charged me for them.
Charge you for them.
Now I sell them for $7 and $8 a bushel.
John.
Well, that's what I say. You ought to be well to do.
But as fast as I get the money, I'd owe it to the other people. I had to give it to them, so that just kept me from doing it. And my wife told me the other day, she said, you sure is crazy. I said, what's that? Say, if you owe a man $100, you pay him $50 and put the other $50 up. I said, well, I love to pay my debt to damn up.
So you're just paying the whole $100?
I believe in paying them jam up and keep up with them. If I owe you $100 a month, I'm going to try to pay you that. If I see where I can, I'm coming and tell you before the time. That's right.
How'd you peddle them things, John?
I'd go around to the stores, sell them, and around the people's house.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sell a whole lot of them to the stores for $8. Then when I peddle, I don't know what I'd get for that bushel. I know it would be more than $8. You know, when you're peddling, you know you're getting to make more money. Just don't put too many on the scale, you know. The medium pound.
Now say that again.
I said when you if you pit a lot of bush, you just break it and pit a lot of it.
Yeah.
You'll make more money and you reel off and send them off to the store.
Yeah.
But you can sell them to the store for about $8. That's wholesale. But retail them, you get about, you know, I imagine you make about $12 or something over on those bushes.
You put them in the scales.
And you retail them, right?
But you don't put too many in the scales.
That's right. You know, they sell by the pound.
Yeah.
You got to figure out your pound to make it. Figure out how many pounds in the bushes, and then you can sell them for so much a pound, and you come out ahead of that $8.
Mm-hmm. That's almost selling by the piece, ain't it?
That's right. Sometimes two or three potatoes weigh 4 pounds, five.
Yeah. I brought up raising sweet potatoes, and we was glad to get a dollar out of the field.
You know, that's what Mr. Baylor told me. He said he could take his truck and go up north up in Georgia, on the other side in the Georgia, another place he called, and he said he'd go right in the field now. And get them for $2 and a half.
Yeah.
That's what he told me. He said, you go in the field and get them for $2.50.
Yeah.
But I never even went to help
you. You know, the beauty of that is you don't have to put up with all the weather and everything.
You sure don't.
You can go in there, and if you know potatoes,
that's right.
Yeah, you just peel them and take a bite and see if they're sweet.
That's right.
That's all there is to it.
Yeah, that's it. He went up in Georgia and got about 3 or 4 loads and brought them back. Sold them for $6 and $8 a bushel.
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. And then he took his truck. He had a little Dodge truck with dual wheels, a tonneau, I think they call it, a ton job. And he'd bring that thing back just as long as he could get them bushel baskets up on them.
Now, they didn't mind you peddling around by the house.
No,
the house
sure
then.
Didn't. No, sure didn't. If you raise your own, you can do it now. But you got the rhythm. You can't be buying them and doing that.
Oh, is that the difference?
Mm-hmm.
You can't go buy them and then peddle them.
That's right. Unless you got a license.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to have no license. Anything you read, you don't have to have no license to sell it in the state of Florida.
Anywhere
in the state of Florida. Now, if you go up around close to some of them people's store, they can run you away from there and run you out of the city limit if they want them. But they can't handle you from selling around from house to house. One place I'm at, this store stopped me though, in Daytona. You know where that is?
Hmm.
I was around there selling. Told me I had to put up $200 to peddle there. I said, well, this is my own stuff I raised. I got my paper here from the courthouse. So, no, you can't peddle unless you buy something here for $200. Some kind of paper. So I moved. I went on down the street, and the colored fella had a big yard in his house and things. He said, drive right in my yard, him, John, and stay as long as you want, and nobody ever bother you. I drove in that gate and started, and man, that police just kept going by, and them people were just flocking into that truck.
And nothing that police could do.
Nothing he could do, because I owned another man's property. I wasn't on the street or the city property.
He could sell, or you could sell anything you want to on your own property.
That's right. That's right.
Well, I still think you ought to be pretty well to do.
Yeah, I've done all of that around. I've been a many places to say that. But the last time I went with a big load with a colored Phillip to Columbia, South Carolina, I tell you the truth, we didn't make enough money off that load of watermelon for nothing. Watermelon was high until we got there.
Yeah.
We got there. Man, just took that load of watermelon. We had about 800 watermelons on that truck. And he took them watermelons for $380. Out of all that work we had done, then went to clean up and unload them up on the market. They was high before we went up there now. But when we got there that day, they said the bottom line fell out too on the watermelon. We was in it. We wasn't going to bring them back. We could have bought watermelon cheaper than cane them way up there up in Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Sure could have.
Yeah. Cost money to move that stuff, don't
That's
it?
That's right. It sure do.
Now, you've always had a little transportation.
That's right. All we did. Kept a little something to go with.
Except now.
Look like I can't get nothing else. I done got boiled up too much in too much of this.
John, I thought you already paid for your house.
No, Mom, I've been paying on that house ever since President Kennedy got killed.
Yeah.
I ought to be bought too.
When is that?
I ought to be bought too.
That's 63, John.
Yeah.
That's over 10 years.
I've been paying on it ever since then. So now, I'm going to write in and ask them for my balance on that. Now, I don't know exactly how much it is.
Yeah.
But I know they keep sending me them envelopes and things, you know. I had to send that money to, what's the name of that place? Way up north somewhere.
Every month?
Yeah, FHA the one built the house for me. FHA.
Mm-hmm.
And so they used to take the money, they ain't no killer, right up in the post office. But after a while, they told me they don't pay no more there. They mail it to them. And they gave me a signed envelope and thing to put it in and everything. So I had to mail that money way up in Missouri. I believe it's Missouri.
That's funny.
That'd be, I had to mail that money every month.
What would happen if you don't mail it?
I guess they're going write me or come see about me or something.
Take your house back.
That's right.
You pedal around in different places.
I sure have, yes, sir. I had a good truck then. I ain't got nothing now. The old truck I got, I don't believe to pass inspection this time.
Yeah.
I don't believe to pass. It might fool me.
You went clear off as far as Daytona.
Me and my wife used to go there twice a week. We used to go there twice a week.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, she can handle vegetables.
Yes, sir, but she won't drive no more. She quit driving. She got a driving license and everything. She just quit driving. And keep them up, but she won't drive. I don't know why. And she used to go out in Orlando, Winter Garden. She used to go all them places. But she got so she just said, I know it bad, she said. So it don't pay her. She said, we want to drive.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, too.
She won't drive no more, I know that.
You got pretty good sales down there, generally?
Good sales, yes, sir. Like I was telling you about that boy got them peanuts on the side of that road. I could dig them peanuts up there and pick them. I could pay somebody a dollar and a half a crate to pick them. Then I could take them peanuts and come over there and get me about $7 a crate for them.
Now?
Right now. Yeah, buy that stuff over there. See, everybody over there got good jobs. They don't believe in no farming or nothing. Excuse me. They don't believe in no planting and things. They've got them good jobs and they don't worry about it.
Oh, I see.
Well, maybe he'd sell them to you.
You just
I'm going to see that fella and ask him. I'm going to get them peanuts.
You know him?
Yeah. My wife's sister, boy.
Oh, your nephew.
That's right. That's my wife's nephew. She is aunt. Yeah, my wife is out. Now, the first peanuts he planted, then we dug them, pulled them for him, and picked them. But these, yeah, I don't know what he letting them stay there for.
Well, the weather got them eventually?
It done killed the top of them, but pull it up, the peanuts is as good under there as they was when they hit them.
Well, he no hurry then.
Man, we got to get them up, though. Don't they? After a while, that vine will go bad.
Yes.
And then you can't pull it up. See, you had to pull them up by hand.
Oh, then you have to just dig every one of them up.
That's right, and you're in trouble like that.
It'll take a while.
That's right.
But the peanuts wouldn't be hurt.
No, they ain't hurt your peanuts. They're under the dirt.
You sell those down, Daytona?
Yeah, goodness. You can sell them right in Gainesville. You can sell them anywhere, peanuts. Any time of the year. You can sell them right now in Gainesville. Get about 25 cents a quart. That's about 25 cents a pound. You can sell all you can get there for about 25 cents a pound.
And that's still green.
That's right. That's right. I know a man in Micanopy would take two crates right now if I had them on there. I forget his name. But anyway, we come out to the tractor that day right by his place. And we come between them stores, before we got down between them stores, the turn. He live in the house right back of there, that trailer house.
Mm-hmm.
He always buy 5 or 6 crates on him every year.
Hmm.
I carried him one this year, that's all.
That's
one,
all you
one
got?
Bushel.
All you had?
That's all I could get.
Well, John, when you got customers,
you ought to keep them going. Ain't
you? You ought to keep them going.
What time it is, man?
Well, it's time to go over there and dig them peanuts.
It sure is.
You think we ought to just go on over there and start in on it?
Better see him before we go in there.
Well, he'd see us out there.
Yeah, I know it. That's the time. It would be on this, wouldn't it? What time it was?
It's about 12:35.
Well, I better go.
What you got to do?
I got to go to work. 1 o'clock, 1:30 anyway.
What you got
to
do?
Paint and dig a pipe hole up to the restaurant, Dan Citra. Nobody at Hendrix Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the man just had a big new trailer house put in there, and they got to dig a hole and put them pipes into the septic tank. Then he got to connect his water. He said, no, he ain't got nothing there. He can't stay there. He got to have it fixed. So he begged me to come help him this evening. Say, he'll pay me $2 an hour. That ain't much money, but I'll have to wait for it. I can help him a little bit. And he saved me all the aluminum beer cans. He see he sell beer and stuff in.
Yeah.
And he saved me all them aluminum cans. All that beer he sell, he picked them out and saved them for me. Sometime I get off. About 100 or 125 pounds. I get 1,500 pounds from him. He saves them for me every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every Monday, I'm supposed to pick them up every Monday. He give me them, but he said he'll pay me $2 an hour to come help him do that.
Well, you can't hardly turn him down, can you?
I sure can't. Nothing he do that.
And you get 15 cents?
15
a pound?
Cents a pound. For that old foil paper, too. You know that old foil? And them old pie plates.
Yeah.
And pay that for them too.
I got several pounds of them right over there.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you gonna do for a helper, John?
Over there?
Yeah.
He said he's gonna help do the work.
I mean, what are you gonna do for your regular man that's been helping you?
But old Henry?
Mm-hmm.
I met there this morning and he's going to the doctor. I didn't know he was hurting that bed right on. He had been down there and talked to me the other day. He looked like he's doing pretty good. But he had to go back to the doctor. The city people sending him to the doctor. You know, he's working for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And they sending him to the doctor.
Well, now, what's he doing? Is he working for the city or working for you?
He's working for the city.
I thought he'd been working for you.
When he got hurt. You talking about Henry?
Yeah.
He was working for the city in Ocala.
Well, he wasn't working for the city of Ocala when you all put in this garden.
Oh, no. Me and him plant the garden, and he hoped and everything. Me and him supposed to be together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you all was working together.
Yeah, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
But he left you?
No, he had been working for the city long before then. And he had never quit the city. He ain't never quit the city. He'd had days, he'd get days off. He, so many days, each one of them get so many days off.
Oh, is that it?
That's the way they was with y'all, man.
So on his days off?
Yeah.
He'd help you. I see. Well, he's a good helper.
But he said, no, he didn't think he'll wake no more, no. Because he done got hurt up. If he get better, he said he ain't got to do it but wake for himself.
Well, where does he do the best, working with you or working for the city?
I don't know myself. I don't know why he was. He done pretty good, and then he didn't.
With the city?
Yeah. And I think the city people, they offered him some money. The point of getting hurt, and he wouldn't take the money. He wouldn't take the money. Told him, say, he hurt, and he don't know whether he get real or not. He wouldn't take the money. They owe him all. $4,500. He wouldn't take it.
How come?
I don't know.
I'd love to have it, wouldn't you?
I'd have sure got it. It's been going on somewhere else the week if I didn't want to work there. Yeah. He wouldn't take that money.
Now, that was down Ocala where he got buried alive.
That's right. That's right. There ain't no killer.
And that down there in the street?
Yeah, that's right.
They went down in under in the
yeah, they dug up. You see, they dig them holes on them ends of them things, and you go down in there. Down in that little round hole.
Yes.
And when you get out under there, that thing got a big opening down, then you go under there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're digging back.
That's right.
Well, they didn't wall.
That's right. They didn't wall them then, but they wall everyone now. They say before they let them go in them. Wall it up before they go down in there. They won't fall in.
But now the other fella is the one that got the most of it.
That's right. He stayed there 4 hours. He stayed under that ground 4 hours.
Well, he was out there in front.
Yeah.
Well, now, how did it get Henry?
Henry fell over in there, trying to help dig the man out. Hurt his back. He fell over in there and hurt his back, trying to get the man out.
So they had to get him by the leg and pull him out.
They had to get him out and the man after that. Yeah, sure. I had to get both of them out.
Now that was pretty hard to do, wasn't it?
You're right.
And Henry's tall. And
he sure is. They rumped him down in there.
Does Henry owe money?
Owe money? A little bit, not much. He don't owe much he's like me. He bought his place and he paid for that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he been paid for that. He worked at that old sand pit away on the... Nobody get that white pretty sand we had toward Johnson Station. That old sand mine.
Oh, Johnson Station.
Yeah, he worked there for years. In the night. He had a job, he'd work there in the night. We had to make that pretty white sand, you know. And haul it out and say, they sell that sand. The mix with cement. So.
Well, he's the kind of miner to start with. He
sure
ought to get buried alive, ought he?
He sure ought to.
He ought to know what to expect, John.
You're right. So the other man, the one was down under there showing him, he's going to get him out and fill a wean there too. Put his back.
Well, you tell him we miss him.
Yeah, that's my sure will.
Well, I wish you'd brought him over here, but he was going
to the doctor this morning. Yes. I started to call him last night. He got a phone to his house and everything. I started to call him last night and ask him would he come with me, but he was gone and I went up there. I didn't call him.
Well, I declare, I'm sorry about that. I wish he'd got it. I wish he'd come over.
You
sure
tell him that you got something coming up in that yard.
I got to tell him. Yes, I sure will.
He's been missing out.
He won't miss. He'll get some. He wanted to come over with me. He wanted to come over here on Saturday going.
Oh, I didn't. Yes.
And all that month, his wife went off and leave the little children there with him. And he said he couldn't come off and leave them. So that got that little bit there for Saturday.
Oh, I see. She got ahead of him.
Yeah, she got away from there. She got a job in Ocala. And she had to work Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Both of them working?
No, he ain't waking, she is.
I mean, they was both up.
Both of them was waking, yeah. Yeah, both of them was waking.
Gee whiz. Well, now, they ought to be getting ahead, ought they?
They had done got ahead till he got hurt. Now, you know. You know, when that much go to rolling by and you done got hurt or something, it won't take long to get you behind paying the bills. He hadn't long bought that new car his wife drives, you know.
Uh-oh.
He hadn't long bought that.
And just one person working, that...
That did tick up all of that. Yeah.
Puts a strain.
Well, I better go. I got to get enough to get some more food stamps.
Well, what do you... Let me see. Is there... Faye, what is it... What do you need? You better put your order in while John's here.
What you got growing over at your house, John?
You ought to get down...
I got nothing much
going
on.
To get you
in.
Some good sweet potatoes. Or something like that. He runs across them things all the time.
Yeah, if you run across some good sweet potatoes, bring us some, John.
That man with our 2 years now, with our 2 years, he's going to Georgia and buy them potatoes.
Yeah.
He had about 5 acres of potatoes. I ain't been to his house up in Hawthorne.
Yeah.
He sure did. About 5 good acres. Mr. Tom Beeler.
Uh-huh.
Right to his house.
Becker.
Tom, no, this young was Tom Beeler.
Oh, that's another fella.
That's the fella I used to haul that morning. Well, I told you, go up in Georgia and get them potatoes.
Yeah.
And that was him. But he don't go nowhere now. He don't drive no more. Turning his driving license. He had one eye and the other one was going bad.
Uh-oh.
So he's turning his driving license. He don't go nowhere now. But he brings potatoes right there to his house.
Well, if you're up there and if they're good, You bring us some.
Well, I'm going up there and I'm going to see if it is. I'll show you.
John, how long has it been since you had a mule?
Oh, that's been some long time now. About 20-something years now since I own a mule.
I thought you was kind of looking around for one now.
Now I got a horse. That horse, I got a plow.
Oh, that you work.
Yeah.
Well, how'd he do?
I can hitch him up and wake him anytime. He works. Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
I done had him hitched up.
Does he behave?
Yeah, he behave himself. Wake right where you put him. When my son got one, then I say he wake better than mine. I ain't never tried that one. But that in mine, I done tried him. I had him hitched up, plow him and everything.
Is that the boy that come over here with you once or twice?
No, my
no.
son.
Yeah.
This one I'm talking about, my oldest son.
Yeah,
he one of the boss men in Mr. Crawford in Wortman Grove.
Oh, is he?
He one of the boss men over there.
Yeah.
Yes. He run a big fruit crew and they started picking them oranges.
Yeah.
He had to keep the time and everything and turn it in.
Yeah.
He had to do all of that. But he's off a heap of days now. Till they start when they start them oranges, he ain't gonna have time to do nothing but wait for them till they over with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what are they waiting on?
They said they gonna mix sugar out the oranges. I don't know what they're going to do. So they're going to take that orange juice and make sugar.
Oh, the price is pretty low this year. So they're going to do something to get more money.
No, the price of sugar is so high.
I mean the price of oranges.
Yeah. So they said they're going to let them stay longer they can. And that juice come out the can and make sugar. They said the juice out the orange will make sugar. So they're going to try it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're going to wake up.
Is it a pretty big crop of oranges this year, John?
Ooh, you got a good crop.
Everywhere.
Sure is.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Well, that'll see us through. We can eat oranges in the place of sugar, can't we?
Yeah, sure right. But they said that's what they got to make out of them, sugar.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be selling them oranges then.
They said that sugar will be on. Come down cheaper. It won't be but 20 cents a pound by next year because they're going to try that. If they make it and make that. I damn owned you.
Yeah.
But I bought a 2-pound peg and it cost me $1.80 the other day.
2 pounds.
2 pounds. Sugar. A 5-pound bag cost $4 and something. Everybody right for that $5.
So you didn't get but 2 pounds.
That's all. That just a little, put a little bit in the coffee. I don't care if no nothing be in my coffee. I put just a little bit.
Just drink coffee?
Yes, I drink coffee.
John, tell Wayne about one of them mules you used to handle. He never got in on that mule.
Oh, talking about the mule?
Yeah.
I was working over the gamble.
Yeah.
They had me in prison and I was working a mule. We had a Florida farm car.
They had you in prison?
Mm-hmm. That's been 28 years ago. And while I was waking the mule, a man, I'd lead him down to the field every morning. I had to lead him, and the man, all the people said you couldn't ride him. So I plowed the mule that day, knocking off time to come. I said, well, old buddy, you going in now, and I'm tired, and I ain't going to walk up to the house. I just got the lines tied on and jumped right on. He ain't tried to throw it at me or do nothing. I'm riding up there, and the boy's man said, well, what you doing on that mule? Nobody ain't never been by here and rid that mule. That mule will kill you. And I had done rid him right on up to the house. Every evening I'd come in riding. He told me that mule gonna kill me. That mule ain't never tried to do nothing to me, but nobody else couldn't ride him. So I got on one of my uncle on one morning after I got back home. I ride him. And that mule threw me so high up in the air and I was coming down on my neck and I threw that arm out and he just popped it.
Still tell it.
Yeah, you can still tell it. Sometimes it feels like somebody got a knife or something jigging in that right through that hand. That mule broke that arm. Yeah. Then run off and look back at me, man. I could have killed that mule that morning.
He just run off. And
run off, look back at me, and blow. Looking back.
Hey, he went off and done what?
Two or three times.
I never heard him do that.
Yeah, he sure did. I said, I ain't that something. If I had, I could kill that mule.
He thought he was pretty smart.
Yeah, I had been riding him all the time.
You've been riding him?
Been riding him all the time.
What happened?
I don't know what got him that crazy thing that morning. He just was crazy that morning. And done it all at once, man. I'll tell you that he was riding on it all at once. He just went up in the air and come down, and when he went up the next time, I was up in the air.
And then he run on.
Look back and go, I said, sure. I mean, I had something to kill you with. And the arm was broken. I got home, my mother and my wife and them, you better carry that arm to the doctor. That arm broke. I said, that arm ain't broke. I was moving. After a while, that arm had to put something with me. So the fella carried me on the doctor, Dr. Davis. And he snuck that arm up and saying, give me some medicine. And a shot. I went on back home. That arm took a long time to get to here.
It was broke?
Mm-hmm, it was broke. Right in there.
John, back in the Depression, you hit the road.
Yeah, man. I had to walk. Pardon me. Walk so far till it was pitiful. Walk from Citrus, Groveland, from Groveland to Claremont. Couldn't find a job and couldn't pay for a job. No kind of if you had money. Met by a man, please. I said, mister, I'm so hungry. You got anything to do? He said, yeah, I got some wood around there. So you cut that wood and I'll give you some bread and some sardines, some light bread. Give me some few slices of light bread and give me a can of sardines. I sat down and ate that and then I cut the wood and went on down the road. That's all I got to do for you to do now. Well, that hooked me. So we all were walking on. I had my cousin with me and my brother-in-law and my other cousin. We were walking along the road, seen some old oranges. We said, well, we're going to just go and get a few oranges and get good and full. We weren't pulling off the man, we'd get some off the ground. This is, we got over the fence and picked up two or three oranges. The man said, bam, bam, man, talking about running. Oh boy, we done some running.
But you made it.
That's right, that was in 1927 or 28. Well, that's the year it was, long in there. 27 or 28, tell me long in there.
Well, that's way back, John.
Yeah, so that was in that hard time.
Yeah.
He took a gun after that one.
The man was out in the grove. That was his grove, I reckon he was shooting to get us off from there. I waited 10 hours in the Crosby and Wortman Grove, 35 cents, 10 hours. Hard driving, grubby. Digging up trees and everything.
And they paid you 35 cents.
35 cents a day. And I had to make them 10 hours to make the 35 cents.
I never heard of that, John. I never heard it that low.
Well, that's what we was working on. And the hand what had been working, it wasn't getting but 50 cents. 50 cents a day.
Well, what'd you do next?
Oh, well, after a while, and President Roosevelt got in, we got the job into getting pretty good then.
I mean, before the jobs come in, when you was out on the road.
Oh, I just had to work out there pretty good. Till I got on that tractor, and I got on that tractor, I didn't have nothing to do with just driving that tractor.
Yeah.
I got away from the mule, and the other fellow was going home, and he put me on the tractor.
Yeah.
See, I had the best tractor driver ever been by then. They yep. thought they had a tractor driver and they had the other fellow, but he wasn't no tractor driver. So I drove that tractor. We raised corn, peanuts, sweet potatoes, all kind of greens, watermelon. Oh, man. They grow more watermelon there on 5 acres than they grow on 30 acres out here.
Oh, really?
But they're taking, check the rows and put about 4 or 5 big shovel full of that cow pen and horse foot lines, and then come back along with that other foot line and threw it all up in there. About two or three big handfuls. And man, they had watermelon. They definitely were eating it.
They're lying.
Yes, sir.
Well, what'd you do on the tractor?
None of us drive it and cultivate it. Break land. Lay off the rows and break land.
Mm-hmm.
And plant it. Run it under plant and plant it.
Well, now that breaking, that was pretty good work, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Every time I hit a stump, they had me with two of them big bottom plows. That thing would hit a stump, it would break or have a sticking about the size of my finger, a green persimmon switch, and give me a good sharp knife to keep cutting them when they break. And they put that in there, and it hit that, it would break that stick instead of breaking the plow. I told him, let's put a bolt in there. He said, uh-uh. So if you put a bolt in there, it'll break the plow or tear up the tractor. So we put them sticks in there. Every time it hit a stump, you'd leave your plow. It would pull loose. It would break. Instead of breaking the plow, it would break the stick. I wanted to put a bolt in there, but he said, no, put a stick in there every time.
You wanted to put a bolt in there so you wouldn't have to stop and put it.
That's right, but he told me not
to. Hitch up to it again.
That's right, but you had to, every time it break, you got to hitch up to it again. We'll cut you another 7-foot switch and put in there.
I don't believe I ever heard of that, John.
Yes, sir. That's really heavy. And give me a good, sharp, big knife to cut them with, a pocket knife. I kept that knife. I brought that knife home, and I don't know what will come of it. And I got out. I cut them switch.
Well, you know, you learned a lot while you were doing that.
You sure did. Ain't no joke. I got taken pick a row, and the meters is straight with that tractor. I take time and do it. I didn't run off a straighter row you ever seen with a tractor.
How'd you manage?
For a mile. Huh?
How'd you manage?
If I ever get that one straight row, I got them over straight.
Well, how you manage to get that straight?
Put me a stick up where I don't know, spot a tree way over on and look, keep that stick and have my two little sticks up there. Keep that right between it, it's like a horse hand.
Oh,
and go straight to it.
You put a sight up there?
That's right, and just keep that tree between them, as long as far as you can see it. Or either your stick, what you put on the other end. And when you get that one row, all you gotta do then is keep your tractor wheel in the trail. Put that wheel right in that trail every time it turns around.
Yeah.
And all your rows will be straight.
you make your straight row, and then you come back. How you come back?
I'd turn either way. If I make it in the middle of the field, I'd turn either side. But if I make it on start on the edge of the field, I just pull it right round and come right back, put my wheel right in that there.
Oh, I see.
And that give me my other rows right there too. Then I get on the other end, I just pull it right round and come right back and put my wheel, this wheel right in that row. And keep it in that row. Then I let it get out that row, don't you have some crooked rows. To keep it in that room.
Well, you just soon been on that tractor sitting around doing nothing in out there, hadn't you?
Sure, right. I wouldn't see nobody from the morning till night when they send me out the way. Just tell me what they're doing. I'd go out there and wait till time to come in, then I'd knock off and come in myself.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go into that restaurant. I hate to hurry off. But
well,
I promised that man I was going to help him put that pipe down the ceiling if I could.
John, I should have given you some lunch.
No, thank you. That's all right.
Well, we just been
so I'll go in, I'll see, can I get him to him.
Well, he's going over to a restaurant first.
Yeah,
that's
going
right
to the restaurant.
Well, why don't you take us with you then? We can eat over there with you.
You're right. So I'm going to go there and help him get his pipe. I even went and connected water and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Running from there, the pipes and stuff.
Yeah.
Where he'll have water in the trailer. See, he's just moving in. He bought buying that place.
Oh.
But he got a lady there cooking and everything in there already. My daughter-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
My daughter-in-law one cooks back there. So.
Oh, well, you. I don't worry about
food.
Your feed.
Yes, sir.
Are you going in? You eat a little over there?
I had never eaten there.
Today you going to eat that?
If they got anything there to eat, I'll eat.
Well, if your daughter-in-law is there, they ought to have.
She back there cooking and I have to come by there. See, I come by there before I come here. Well, I promised him I'd stop by and see. So he said he just got the trailer in yesterday. Now I ain't got all the pipe and everything to run it to the tank, septic tank. And he wanted to hook up the water. And I told him, he said he want to hook up a lot. I told him he had to get somebody else to hook him with. Well, I ain't going to mess with that wire.
You don't care for that?
No. I used to work on the telephone line all through here. Did you remember that colored fellow used to be working on that telephone line?
You know who? Did you know him?
Yeah. Well, when he quit, I started. And I worked on it for years.
Oh, you mean really?
Really, uh-huh. I'd keep all that moss pulled off, all them limbs cut back from the road, all up in here, and I'd go all the way to, you know where the county line run out to Williston? I'd go to the county line, then I'd go back up in this way, up in there before you get to Williston. Cut all that. Then I'd come back by Fairfield, and from Fairfield in the Reddicks, and then on in Orange Lake.
Yeah.
And I'd come up for that line where you come in near the, around here to this line down here, where you're in a lottery county.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go up that hill through there and go across them fields and cut all them limbs and things. I used to do that after that other fellow got old.
I
have done some work.
You ought to be pretty well to do.
I would have been if I'd have been in the man with Cumberland, Georgia, what I was working with right on. I'd have been gone now because he offered to buy me anything I wanted. He offered to buy me a brand new truck and a home and everything.
Well,
I was scared. I was scared of death. And you get scared of death. He said, I wasn't going to take your money. I'll let you tell me what you want me to take out your time a week and I can tell you pay for it.
He going to buy you all that stuff and then let you work it out?
That's right.
And you scared?
And I tell him what I want him to take out a week or a month. And I was scared. Scared of myself. Now, wasn't that something? His name was Mr. Kemp out of Georgia. Coming here and started that pulpwood business. We cut pulpwood all back and make it nothing. Back on that side of making nothing back in there. We used to cut all that pulpwood. I was driving that old big long school bus holding the hand.
Yeah.
So we went to Sumterville. Now I'm a little Coleman. We went down there to Sumterville. One evening we was coming in running about 60 miles an hour and that tire, front tire blowed on that thing, all I could do was to hold it. That thing went right up that big bank. And that's where I stopped it, leaning one side up that big bank. One of them big tires blowed out on the front of that thing.
Just blowed out?
Yeah, boom. Went right up that bank. I was holding it as best I could. So I got it stopped, dude. And after a while, the man had him to bring a brand new tire already on a wheel and put it on there. Come on in. He had some kind of trucks and things, that man did.
Mm-hmm.
Offered to buy me a new one, and I didn't let him do it. Offered to buy me a home. You know what I could have bought the home for? Already a fence around the yard and everything.
Mm-hmm. Last you paid for this
one? Yeah. Long in then, you know, I bet you don't know what I could have got that home for.
No.
And that home was about... It was about $25,000, no. But you know what I could have got it for? $450.
John, something was wrong with your head.
I'm scared. Now that's right there, no killer.
You must.
I look at that house when I pass and I say, look at it, what I missed. You know, this place was some money, no.
Gee, man.
That's what I missed.
Just go around kicking yourself.
And you know in there where they got that dump over there, the sister? Man offered me that land, and land was selling pretty high for $100 acres, 6 acres in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I didn't vote that land. Mr. George Turner offered to me for $100 an acre. There's 6 acres in there.
He's one of your friends.
Yes, white fellow.
He's doing you a favor.
Sure was. So he got a piece on that full land now. I'm at time and asked somebody, he said, I don't know. I ain't made up my mind to sell that yet. Man, I bet you he wants something for that door right on that four lane.
Yeah.
Not like it is now.
Yeah. Well, you know.
They
charge you when it's way back mistakes now.
Yeah, I know it. They sure do. Don't Well, I better go to when I won't get that time to do that man a little work, I guess.
Faye wants to go with you.
Yeah, I said.
I'm going with you
and
eat that restaurant.
Yeah, all right.
That's right, and you can look out and watch them put in the connector water, Faye.
Yeah, Lord. Yes, sir. All right, you gotta go with it. I'm gonna call you when I come in again, yeah?
Yeah, you might not find anybody here.
I'm gonna call before I come.
And bring your helper here.
I'm gonna bring him and I'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell Henry we missed
him.
I'm gonna find out what day he can come and I'll call and tell you, and then I'm gonna bring him over.
If you don't, we'll come over there.
All right.
Well, he's good in green, John.
Notice how I took the lead right there. Took charge of the conversation.
Well, when you get used to doing it, you see, it comes so easy. It's easier just to sit back and listen, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah.
I tried to get in there when you threw me the ball with the mule story.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last very long. I don't know. It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner. Dad looks over and says, "You give the blessing, Wayne." oh, all right.
Well, you see, we've talked to them so much. I know kind of where to look around those mule stories, and
mm-hmm.
when you hit the road.
No, I had never heard any of that.
Well, you see, you keep it going from one time to another, and it's always fresh. Not many people repeat. Or somebody who's in public life, you see, they'll get to telling the same story over and over again. But a fellow like John, he don't. It's always fresh. Always fresh.
There's this. Something about this area that is extremely cohesive. I mean, he's talking about people in Hawthorne, and Fort McCoy, and Micanopy, and Orange Lake, McIntosh, and all these little communities all over, making a large. He seems to know people in all of these areas. All this stuff.
Well, you see, I don't know how you say it. That's a former age. That's the world we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But he still lives in it.
Yeah.
It is mine. Most of the people have gone. But you can, what you do, you resurrect that. You can resurrect that world. He can resurrect it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go along with it.
Georgia is just as much part of it too as this area is. It all about it. Most of them come down from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect you to know people in Georgia and South Georgia. You never even heard of the places they're talking about, much less who they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You almost get a feeling of there was a great exodus from Georgia to Florida. I guess there was.
Well, now you take the 20s, they had a depression out here in the farms before the big depression.
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about.
About 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to say 27, 28.
Mm-hmm. The depression actually started at the end of 29.
On Wall Street.
Yeah. Noticeable depression. It must have started sometime before that.
Yeah. No, you can reconstruct it. You see, he'll talk about the mule.
Mm-hmm.
He goes from the mule. Eventually, he'll go from the mule to the tractor.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming up in the world. You see.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for me, but this is for, you know.
Yeah.
If you're living in it.
It's also a kind of logical progression, or maybe it's even a chronological progression for it.
Now, what you do, you can study this. You can study this.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that. I'd get a tape like this, and I'd spend 2 or 3 days on it.
Mm-hmm.
I would play it and just set down what's in it, and then I'd get into it and transcribe parts of it. I'd do all sorts of things with it, and I'd reconstruct it, and I would get the stuff in my mind so that I could, next time I talked, you see, I could pick it up. That's living around it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's about as interesting as anything I ever did. Living around it. You are this, the world that they report is so much more interesting than the world of raw experience.
In the world of raw experience.
But you've got to have
condensed.
You've got to have certain skill.
Hard.
You see, you've got to have. You see, I had all the book training behind it and enabled me to do this. I couldn't do it if I didn't have that, you see. I treat this like I would Paradise Lost. I look at it, you know, look at it, make something of it. And then, you see, I've got to, I can write and I can use a typewriter. And, but they are skills that I've developed over long time. So, really, you see, I'm bringing a good many skills to it. Well, you can put it another way. Doing this will develop those skills.
Mm-hmm.
Also, develop your writing skills so that you write fluently without thinking. You
yeah.
get this in mind, you see.
I'm starting to notice that. It's becoming easier and easier to just let my fingers go, you know, at the typewriter.
Yeah, I guess better. Now, you see what you can do. You can, I made a tape of it, one tape, and I thought you could use it and write up something on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can do it first, just from scratch.
Right.
In order to get into it. I think it's much better to get into it fresh, raw, and stay in it for a good while, and then dip into the tape. But what I've noticed is if you stay with the tape to the point where you get the material on the tape pretty well in hand, it scotches you. It ties you down to the text a little bit more, and it takes away your free movement.
Hmm.
Well, you can do it any way you want to, or do it a lot of ways.
There will probably be many ways it'll be done before I'm through.
Channel 1, right? Around 1500, and the end of this long session with John Turner, with Barbara and Wayne, this Thursday, the 5th of December, 74. Channel 1, right, around 1500, and the end of this long talk with John Turner, with Barbara and Wayne, this Thursday, the 5th of December, 74.